Oh, I know he loves this time of year. He loves getting the Melbourne Cup winner. I know he's done it on, well, at least one occasion. I wonder how he went this year. Hello, Stewie.
Morning, Jimbo. No, poo. I was poo this year.
From your tipping point of view is what you're talking about, right?
Anyone that follows my tip's an idiot. There you go. That's my tip. That's my tip.
Stewie, we're talking about reminiscing. We had Berkey on. He was telling us about his career. We had also Loz asked for the remote
Berkey's
control.
Berkey's still on the phone talking to you. He hasn't realised that we've hung up. He's up to game 394.
But Stewie, do you ever find yourself watching Fox Cricket old highlights just going, gee, that was a good over and... reminiscing?
Oh, mate, when I do, I close the blinds, turn the lights down. I've got to say, when it's sometimes you flick it on and there's a game on and you go, oh, yeah, usually there's really, really bad shots of me getting bowled or playing a really, really bad shot. And look at my son just looks at me and goes, oh, is that? Yeah, mate, I just can't remember. And it's a dreadful looking shot. So when they come on, they're a bit of fun, mate, but... I can't say I sit there and watch too much of it. It was a long time ago.
When you're turning the lights down with the curtains, Warnie's not there, is he?
No. Just me by myself, nice and private.
Hey, Stewie. All right, let's move quickly away from that. Talk in the newspaper today, we've sort of seen it on our screens and seen it in the stands, but I think tepid is the word that was used to describe the response from the Australian sporting public in regards to this summer of cricket. It's sort of like worst fears realised at this point.
Yeah, it's no different to a few years ago. You remember, a few years ago, the Big Bash numbers went through the roof. And it was because we had the West Indies out here and then there was some other team, I can't remember who it was. But unfortunately, the way the cricket cycle works, you've got these two big series, England and India, and they're always massive and they're always huge. And then after that, you've got, you know, some of the other teams that probably don't have the big draw card attention that those two teams have. So it really, really is the sort of the down cycle for Cricket Australia. The games have been decent games of cricket, at least against Pakistan, or at least the other night was. Sri Lanka weren't much chop. It's going to be a long summer, boys. I don't think we can sort of sugarcoat that. Unfortunately, until maybe New Zealand gets here and, you know, are they a great team away from home? I'm not quite sure. They'll put up a fight, but I think you're going to see a pretty dominant Australian team all summer.
Yeah, well, we had Couchman on the program early this morning. He believes that we've gone off too early and haven't given the Kiwis enough respect. Which camp are you in?
The Kiwis are okay. Look, they got to the World Cup final and things like that, but the conditions are what probably are fine. They're not as favourable to New Zealand. You know, the wickets are pretty hard and flat. The ball doesn't do a lot over here. And do they have the potency with the ball to really get Australia out? That's where it becomes a bit boring. If it's just a good batting wicket, do New Zealand, Sri Lanka, and for that matter Pakistan, do they have the firepower with the ball? That was the interesting part about, you know, watching England and Australia play. The ball was doing something, and the Australian batsmen struggled a bit. Yes, we still won, and yes, it was good cricket. I just don't think the teams that are playing out here have that. You know, even India, you know, you had blokes like Ravi Ashwin and Jadeja bowling spinners, or Mohammad Shami or someone like that. And it was good watching.
Yeah. We've got the first test against Pakistan on November 21. Prior to that, they're playing a three-day game against Australia A. We think that of the top six, D. Warner, S. Smith, Manus Labuschagne and Matthew Wade are locked in. Who are your two for batting's positions, say, 2 and 5? Stewie?
Well, they're playing at the Gabba. I know Khwaja was left out of the last test in England, or the second last test, I think. I'd probably be leaning to him, only because it's at the Gabba, and Usman has a really good record in Australia where the wickets bounce, ball comes onto the bat. But I'd probably, you know, we're splitting hairs on who you can actually pick. In the number 5 spot, that's just a million. Nick Madsen's an interesting one. I heard his name thrown up, I think, by Steve Waugh. The only reason I throw his name up is he's just got a mountain load of runs. I think he's got four or five hundreds in his last 6 games. So if you're going to pick guys when they're in form, unlike when they picked him last time and he was not in form, to bat in that middle order, I think they'll be looking closely at Nick Madsen. I'm not sure where Mitch Marsh's hand is at. I suppose they'll talk to him because of he got Pfeiffer in the last test and he got a few. I know people will sit there and go, you're kidding, aren't you? But I think they'll start looking at him again because of that middle order prowess, and also because he's an all-rounder. And then you've got to go through the batting order. Blokes like Joe Burns, I suppose, his name will come into
What about Will Pekoski, mate?
Look, his name will be in the mix. Again, he's a top order batsman. Maybe they'll, maybe it'll be him or Khawaja to open the batting. I don't know. That's what I mean. Like, who do you pick? You're splitting hairs on who you actually pick. Do you go for someone that's got experience, or do you blood a young bloke and give him some time against some of the, I suppose, as I said, the lesser nations with probably weaker bowling lineups? It's a real conundrum for the selectors, that one.
What about away from the actual team? First off, Brad Hodge. He's been overlooked for that selector's position. There's a bit of an article in the Sydney Morning Herald. And the other one, too, I want you to answer, is Mel Jones. Do you think she can juggle both positions of being on the board and also being a commentator and heavily involved with the media?
Brad Hodge, I'm interesting. He wanted to be a selector. I know it's hard. He's commentating as well, I think, for Channel 7. He's got a good cricket mind, but obviously Cricket Australia have got different ideas. The Mel Jones, Mel's obviously been in the media for a long time. I'll be honest with you, I don't know what Mel's background is as far as directorships and things like that. It's always hard, though, when you're commentating. That's your, that's your bread and butter. And then you get put on the spot occasionally, and sitting on that desk there occasionally, and someone asks you a rugby league question, and I get put into a spot where you go, oh, God, can I really answer that? Or do I really know the answer to that? Or really, should I really make comment on that?
So, yeah.
That's a tough one for Mel. Look, she's a great commentator. I quite like her on the TV and things like that. But, she's not the first person to ever, be a board director and commentator. I think Mark Taylor's done it for a lot of years. Now he's stepped down recently. He probably won't be the last.
I thought what was interesting today, I read that there are only two Australian selectors this summer, Trevor Holmes and Justin Langer. Do you find that a little bit strange, Stewie?
I think they're changing the model, mate. There used to be four selectors, and there'd be a head selector, and then at one stage there was a T20 only selector, and there was this whole heap of. Justin Langer is very much, getting the team he wants, and maybe that's a good thing. The argument for that is, well, Alex Ferguson always got the team he wanted at Manchester United. Why shouldn't Justin Langer? Cricket's never worked that way before, but given the way the game is and the changes to the way the game is. I think we're going down a model of, there's an advisor, i.e. Trevor Holmes, and then there's the coach who, he wants to play a certain way. And, I'm sure he speaks to Tim Payne or Aaron Finch about what he would like to see happen as well. And there's only two official seats. I'll be honest, I think you need some other selectors as well. And maybe more advisors, perhaps. Maybe people like Ricky Ponting or, Darren Lehman or people that are doing that. I don't know. Because if you're only focused on the Australian team, i.e. Justin Langer, which he should be, that's his job, he doesn't see a lot of the other cricket that's played around the country. He really focuses all his time on one team. So that one team becomes very much, when you're in the bubble, well, how are you ever going to get out of the bubble? Because the coach is never seeing anyone else.
Well, Stewie, we know you're a man with plenty of focus. You're a great bloke and you're a man of the people. But this has just been sent into us. Loz, Jimmy Dave. Can you thank Stuart for brushing me and the bride at the Paragon Cafe in Goulburn on Wednesday morning? Rooster Mick from Goulburn.
Dear me.
What were you doing?
I was on my way back from Canberra, where I'd plied my trade on the microphones with another station, which I won't mention on this station. And I stopped to have breakfast with the great Andrew Ball.
Yeah. Doesn't mean you need to brush the locals.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I had a photo with some kid who remembered one of my great bowling spells. He was about 3 or 4 years old.
Some kid.
And said happy birthday to him, because it was his birthday. Mm. And I didn't see anyone else, but I'm always happy to take photos and hand out autographs.
He's on the defensive straight away.
Let's dig a little bit deeper here.
Yeah, yeah. Rooster Mick from Goulburn. Stewie's going to send you out a signed photograph.
a bit like Jerry in the diner. Jeez, nothing could be finer than eating in your diner or something like that.
You've hit a raw nerve this morning,
haven't we? Anyway, we're very happy that you've spoken to us today, Stuart. No doubt it's a paid spot. But anyway, don't want to take anything away from you. Nah, good on you, mate. There you go. Enjoy the weekend.
Good idea. Well, I'll be seeing you at the Cricket Oval tomorrow morning, Jim, where you'll have the big broad-brim hat on and you'll be directing traffic in the under-10s.
Absolutely. The 10Cs, mate. Hey, four straight losses. We're under pressure.
Can you do us a favour, Stewie, too? Can you just get an over-under of how many times he mentions Usain Bolt and Michelle Payne and he was in a birdcage and all that
Susie
stuff?
Susie O'Neill.
Yep, Madam Butterfly.
The thing he does at the moment is his salary cap with that team. He's always very transparent with it, tells all the parents what everyone's getting. He likes transparency, Jim. He doesn't want one parent to think one other kid's getting favoured with too much coin on the side.
Yeah, you've got to be even, mate. You know that.
Yeah.
Good on you, mate. I'll see you tomorrow.
Later, boys. Good on you.